Welcome to The Fraud Files. Before we dive into today's episode, make sure to hit that follow button. Don't miss out on unraveling the mysteries with us every week. If you're a CPA like me, you can earn CPE credit for listening to this podcast. All you have to do is answer the course questions at flowcademy.com. That's FLOQADEMY.com. The link is in the show description. Enjoy.
Previously on The Fraud Files.
Hi, my name is Dawn Bennett, and I'm about to change your life.
Steven Santagati. And I could use your help, but sounds like I'm not a big enough fish for you.
Since we are a new firm, I think we could make an exception.
Really? That would be amazing.
You know, Steven, I have a good feeling about you. I think we're going to make a lot of money together.
Dawn, I'm looking at my account right now. Is this real? 1.5 mil?
Feels good to see your investments grow, doesn't it?
Episode 2. Dawn Bennett is a thief. Dawn loved to shop. She often found herself in a fancy store with a slick European name, surrounded by items way outside of her budget, about to make a purchase she would probably regret. Okay, a purchase she should probably regret.
Just the Louboutins for today, right, Miss Bennett?
I'll be back for the rest soon, Claire.
Oh, I know you will be. Today's total will be $3,498, please. Oops, looks like this was declined.
That's odd. My limit is at least 20 times the cost of those shoes. Are you sure? Please run it again.
Might be our machine.
That's preposterous. Something is wrong with your machine.
Maybe call your bank.
Oh.
Brad speaking.
Why is my card getting declined?
Because we've maxed out our credit? Dawn, I told you, you need to get your spending under control. We're a startup, and it's not a great time in the industry right now.
That's weird. I've never heard of that issue before. Please fix it immediately.
Are you listening to me? You better not be buying shoes again.
I have a business to run. If you aren't able to get my card up and running within the hour, I'll take my business elsewhere.
We can't afford this.
Long story, our main credit provider is having some issues. Can I split the total between three cards?
Of course.
Someone get this woman an Oscar. Dawn took retail therapy to a new level. When things behind the scenes weren't going so well, no one would know because on the outside, everything seemed great, even lavish.
But couldn't she write off some of her expenses for tax purposes?
Technically, she could. You can write off expenses for tax purposes as long as they are ordinary and necessary to operate your business. Things like insurance, equipment, utilities, subscriptions, travel, and capital assets.
Red bottoms don't sound ordinary or necessary.
That's right. I highly doubt there could be a case for them to be ordinary and necessary to operate Dawn's business. But many entrepreneurs try this. Writing off things like clothing and haircuts, food, personal travel, just because you're using the business credit card for personal expenses doesn't mean your expenses are deductible business expenses for tax purposes.
But there are some personal expenses you can deduct, right?
Absolutely. If you operate your business out of your home, you can likely claim the home office deduction. Certain everyday expenses, such as rent and utilities, can be deductible. However, you have to use this section of your home exclusively for your business, or you can't claim it.
How would you even prove that?
Well, you claim it, and then if the IRS has questions, they can come in and audit you. That's when you have to prove any expenses you claim for your business purposes were actually necessary to operate your business.
So what happens if they're not?
Well, you wouldn't get to claim them as a tax deduction then, and you would be responsible to pay the additional tax.
Wouldn't the business try to write off as much as they could in that case and hope they never get audited? Because they would only be responsible for the tax if they got audited and the expenses got denied.
Well, they could, but that's a pretty risky way to operate your business. If you do get caught claiming expenses that aren't legit business expenses, The IRS can also impose penalties and interest.
So you should only claim necessary business expenses.
Exactly. You should have an accountant review your expenses to ensure you're claiming everything you can and nothing you can't. There are times when entrepreneurs try to claim more business expenses than they can.
But why? Can't they claim everything that they think is an ordinary and necessary business expense?
Technically, yes. However, the IRS has the final say on what is an ordinary and necessary business expense. Businesses also need to be operating with the expectation of profit, which means that if you continue to claim losses year after year, even if those losses are legitimate losses, the IRS is likely going to have questions, specifically if your business has the expectation of profit.
But how is that even realistic? So many businesses don't make money until year 3 or 4 or even later, if ever.
Tell that to the IRS. They want their money.
So how do you know what to claim?
That's where having an accountant that specializes in your field comes in handy. They know what you should be claiming as a business expense and what you shouldn't be claiming, and they can advise you accordingly.
I wonder who Dawn's accountant was.
Well, we don't know exactly who her accountant was, but we do know that Brad was the CFO, so he was handling all the finances. While Brad was managing the books, Dawn was doing door-to-door marketing as the face of her company, making sure everyone and their brother knew about her mention in Barings. It was during an afternoon meeting with an elderly client of hers that Dawn got another interesting marketing idea.
That's nice, Dawn. I'm so happy for you. I saw the press release. Very well deserved.
What's that?
Oh, it's 3 p.m. already. My favorite local radio show is starting.
Wow. I haven't listened to the radio in ages. I didn't realize they had good local programming.
Yep, every Thursday afternoon. Fills me in on current events and politics. Highlight of my week.
Why not just watch the news?
Do you know how old I am, Dawn? Can't teach an old horse new tricks. Plus, these are local people, not media puppets. I feel like I know them, so I spend an hour every Thursday afternoon with them.
Dawn, you need to call me back immediately. My account is below 500K now. What the fuck is going on? This is all I have to my name. I can't take any more losses.
That was Steven, leaving Dawn a voicemail that she never picked up because she was too busy pitching Brad on her new marketing plan.
It's genius, Brad. I'll do it once a week on Sundays, and it will broadcast the local zip code.
Who even listens to the radio anymore?
Who listens to the radio? The elderly sitting at home, retired with nothing to do, except think about what they're going to do with their money. And who are they going to hear? Me, as a voice of certainty in the community that they can trust.
Well, how much is this going to cost?
Don't worry about it, Brad. It's cheap marketing. It's local radio, for Christ's sake.
I just worry that it might, you know, distract you from advising.
That's insulting, Brad. You do realize you're talking to one of the top female financial advisors in the country? The fact that you think I couldn't handle a once-a-week speaking engagement is absurd. Why don't you stick to the bookkeeping and let me decide what's worth my time or not?
Dawn had made up her mind before she even spoke to Brad. Her telling him was a professional courtesy. It was Dawn's name on the door, not Brad's. And it would be Dawn's voice heard through thousands of homes in the local Washington, D.C. area.
Welcome to Financial Mythbusting with Dawn Bennett. You can listen to this program live every Sunday from 11 a.m. to 12 p.m. right here on 105.9 FM and AM 630 WMAL. Securities offered through Western International Securities Incorporated, member FINRA SIPC. The views expressed on this program do not necessarily reflect the views of the station proper. Advice depends on a complete analysis of all facts and circumstances. Listeners should consult their own financial advisors or conduct their own due diligence before making any financial decisions. And you're listening to Financial Mythbusting with Dawn Bennett.
Welcome to Financial Mythbusting with Dawn Bennett. I'm Dawn, and I come to you as number 4 on Barron's 2009 list of top 100 women financial advisors.
So the show is a publicity stunt.
Well, it's all about creating an image of legitimacy. She told Barron's she had $1.2 billion of assets under management. Who knows if they verified that claim or how they verified it? But given the fact that they relied on the information she gave them, they could have easily said, she's talking about it publicly on a radio show, that's a legitimate source, and then they put her on their list.
You have to admit, that is genius marketing on her part. Wait. Barron's Magazine named Bennett 3 times to its list of top financial advisors, showing her managing more than $1 billion in client assets. So Brad helped Don make all those claims, or back them up at least.
He would have at some point, but Don was really savvy. She invested in her image and then lied about it in really smart ways.
But how did she not get caught earlier? Especially if the Barron's list is so legit.
Yes, Barron's is a weekly newspaper owned by Dow Jones. And Barron's states that its rankings are generally based on data from thousands of the nation's most productive advisors. However, the data is self-reported.
What?
And there is some evidence that Dawn made claims to people working at Barron's and then later made these same claims in other public places, which shouldn't have legitimized the claims, but it did. Dawn's strategy was to get her narrative out and prove that narrative by restating that narrative in public places.
Well, she sounds like a manifester. I bet she journals.
Say it enough times and people will begin to believe you. Without access to Barron's internal methodology, knowing how Bennett was ranked on the list is impossible. Assets under management, at least the assets she claimed were under management, seems to have played a big part. All we know for sure is that Bennett submitted her application containing greatly exaggerated assets under management figures, and Barron's never sought to validate her numbers.
And no one's ever said anything about this before.
There are a lot of criticisms with the Barron's list. Unvetted figures, high level of bias, and popularity contests. But the biggest one has to be that a large part of the Barron's methodology is not made available for public scrutiny, which to me is the biggest red flag. How can you depend on something if you don't know if it's fully backed up or not?
Feels like these lists should come with a warning label. I feel like people today are more skeptical.
Are they? Didn't a similar thing happen recently with Kylie Jenner? You know, Forbes said she was the world's youngest self-made billionaire a few years ago and then retracted their statement shortly after when facts came to light. Funny enough, that was also a case of her wealth being exaggerated by Kylie and her momager, Kris Jenner.
Unfortunately, this isn't a thing in the past. These things keep happening. Making these lists is just another stop on the road of legitimizing businesses that perhaps otherwise might not be considered legit. Kylie Jenner was a makeup mogul, something people don't really associate with billionaires. Getting that legitimacy from Forbes probably helped her business, just like it did for Dawn.
So what happened to Dawn next?
Remember, this story isn't just about Dawn. It's also about her victims.
Hey, it's Steven. I really need your help. I need you to take a look at this account for me. I emailed you the details.
As Steven watched his account shrink, he desperately called a friend of his who worked in finance.
Yep, the email just came in. I'm pulling it up now. What did you want me to take a look at?
I don't get what's going on. Could you decipher it for me?
Yeah, of course. Shit.
What?
So it looks like she's been borrowing heavily on margins against your account to generate more commission for herself, probably. At this rate, she's probably taking home like $300,000 to $350,000 on your account alone. Steven, it's down to 200 now. How much did you have in this account?
1.5 mil.
You gotta pull this now.
Fuck! This is everything I have. It's my entire life savings. I sold my house in Vermont for this.
I'm really sorry, man. I don't know what to say.
How do you tell someone that over 80% of their life savings is gone?
Professor Pope? How does borrowing on margin against your account work?
Good question. Borrowing on margin means taking an interest-bearing loan secured by securities you own in your brokerage account. Essentially, the securities are pledged as collateral for the loan. In short, Dawn was using Steven's money to put more money in her pocket. So naturally, Steven calls Dawn in a fit of rage.
Bennett Group Financial Service.
God damn it, Brad! You need to put her on right fucking now! She tanked everything! I'm pulling my money!
Steven.
You know right well who the fuck this is! I lost everything, Brad! My whole life's work! Because of her!
Well, you know the market.
No, I don't want to hear the bullshit! I'm done! That's it! Put her on the fucking phone!
Oh, I'm sorry, but Don's out at the moment, but I can start the process now.
I want it done tonight. And you better tell that thief of a boss that I'm gonna drag her name through the mud. She's gonna get what's coming to her.
We're at Louis Vuitton. You can hear the cashier swiping plastic, the clink of champagne glasses for high-end shoppers, and the regret of buyers purchasing what they can't afford.
That'll be $1,356.
Put it on this card.
Her black card.
That'll be $4,219.
Put it on this card.
Her Chase Sapphire Preferred.
That will be $18,338. That will be $29,937. $87,408. $104,208.
Here, my Barclay business card.
Dawn just spent the morning with all of her friends at Louis, Jimmy Choo, Louis Vuitton. And when she arrived at the office, she ran into...
Where have you been?
Brad, you scared me. I was just doing some retail therapy.
Steven is gone.
What?
Yeah, he chewed me out on the phone and said you ruined his life. And to be honest with you, Don, I'm starting to feel the same way.
Brad, seems like you're getting worked up. Let me take you out and buy you something nice.
Don, I'm not going shopping with you.
You'd feel a lot better wearing a new Rolex. I'll pick one up for you.
Another day and another shopping trip for Don. She makes her way through the aisles of an insert whatever designer name you please when a conversation between two customers catches her ears.
I'm so sorry. Unfortunately, we don't have that in your size. However, I can order it online for you, and it'll ship to your house in 3 to 5 business days.
Okay, let's do that.
Great. One moment. I don't even know why we come in the stores anymore when they never have the inventory.
Right. Might as well just buy everything online, save the hassle of coming in. I keep telling myself it's worth it because you get to try on stuff, but like, why does that even matter when they don't have your size to try on?
Dawn rushed into her office, straight with bags and bags of items, her mind racing.
Brad, I was out and I overheard a very interesting conversation. Do you do any online shopping?
What? Online shopping? I've been trying to keep our clients from dropping us.
I heard these two women talking and I think there might be an opportunity to create a clothing store without the store part. I mean, maybe we could do a showroom or something. Yes, that's good. So people could see things, but all the transactions would be online. I think it would be...
Don, what is going on with you? We had two more clients fire us today. You know why people fire financial advisors? Because they're not financial advising. We're not bringing in the same amount we were, and we can't keep writing it off to volatility in the market. We're supposed to be advising people, but instead, you've been busy playing radio show host and going on shopping sprees.
And what do you think the radio show is doing, Brad? It's getting our name out there. It's bringing in new clients. I know you're a genius when it comes to the numbers. I couldn't do it without you. But when's the last time you brought in a new client?
And Dawn wasn't wrong. The radio show was doing wonders for getting Dawn new clients. Dawn would speak with such authority and persuasion, and people bought into it.
Because time and time again, I have seen investors believe in, therefore act like, being blind makes them feel safer, when in fact it's actually leaving their portfolios crippled, vulnerable, and powerless. So after 30 years as a money manager, I can definitely tell you, and without equivocation, that every time an investor confronts the truth surrounding their portfolio, they always achieve real power and unleash their portfolio's capacity to grow during both thick and thin times. Which is why I'm going to ask you this question today. Do you have a plan B for your portfolio? Do you have a more defensive approach to managing your money? Because this is not a ramification-free U.S. stock market. It is a full, and I mean stock bull, of consequences. And know this, smart investors always have a plan B for their portfolio. Big investors always have a plan B for their portfolios. So, by the way, I'm just going to let you know one of the many steps we take at Bennett Group Financial every day in order to keep our clients' portfolio ahead. It is this process of staying in tune with the truth. You know, again, we do this every day, every week, every month. This investment process, because it benefits our clients every single time. We stick to this discipline.
She sounds professional and confident.
I hate to admit it, but I would have believed her. Yeah, she seems like she knows her stuff. Oh, with a hint of, you'd be stupid not to listen.
By day, Dawn was preaching the secrets of the financial markets that she learned via managing her clients' portfolios. And by night, she was losing those clients' portfolios.
What a juxtaposition.
She had an image to uphold. That's why she had the show for so long. It was an easy way for her to sound legitimate, but she couldn't pull the wool over everyone's eyes. And while Dawn seemed seemingly crushing it publicly, reality was a little different for her clients. We're in a used car lot in Maine, filled with rows of beaten up scrapers. And if you listen closely, you can hear Steven.
I can only do 3K. That's my ceiling. You don't understand. I've been robbed. I lost pretty much everything I have. Deal. And you could gut this whole thing, right? Maybe add in a stove burner here, a bed back here.
Are you, thinking of living in this? In a used Sprinter van?
He was living in a van? Totally off-grid. I kinda dig it.
That's horrible. This poor man lost his life savings because of her. Dawn must have realized what she was doing. Did she even care?
If the fact that she went on to do similar things to other clients is any indication, then no. She did not.
Couldn't Steven do something? What are your options in a situation like this?
Actually, there was something he could do.
Hello, thank you for calling FINRA. How may I direct your call?
My name is Steven Santagati, and I need to report a crime committed by my financial advisor.
Okay, one sec. Sir, who would you like to file a complaint against?
Dawn J. Bennett.
Next time on The Fraud Files.
Fifth new client this week.
Very good job, Brad.
Based on my projections, I can promise a 15% ROI.
Sign me up.
Who do I write a check to?
Is this Ben Collins at Pooja.net?
Yes, it is. I've noticed you've been spending a lot of money on our site on a variety of rituals. While we appreciate your business,
Ben,
listen
to me. I'm being harassed by the SEC. My enemies are after me. I need your help.
Don't want to wait for the rest of the episodes to drop? Head over to flowcademy.com to listen to the whole season now. That's flowcademy.com. FLOQADEMY.com.